Why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
pictures if you can. Jared, I think I emailed you standalone pictures of two standalone pictures of Michelle and I. See if you can, my wife and I, we're here with Randy and Carla Flug. See if you can find that, Jared. And I want you to know that, yes, we were inside. We were at this, we were got VIP passes thanks to Alan Zeifer and his connections in the White House. And we had to stay in line a long time before we got in. But when we got in, we were the first ones. And we got in the sixth row, and I thought for sure that we were going to be featured behind Donald Trump the whole time because we're right behind him, 100 feet behind him. And I thought that all of America would be able to watch me with my cross hat and everything going on with that. And then as I saw earlier this morning, some of the replays, we were too high. Sixth row was too high, but we were right there. And every time Trump would turn around, he'd look at us. And I mean, it was a prime location, prime seat. And Jared, I assume you're still working. Is it up there? Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm kind of handicapped here this morning. Let me find out where you are. Do we have it up on the screen there? There we are. There you see us. There's Coach Dave and Michelle right there beside me, and Randy and Carla right beside us. This is the sixth row, folks. We are literally 100 feet behind the president. And the camera shot, when you watch him on the air, see my Keep America Great sign that I'm holding? By the way, they gave us all kinds of signs to hold. There comes Michelle. Keep America Great. What's up, sweetie? She's got a sad look on her face. Well, anyway, that guy right there below us, his knees you can see probably in the Trump feed, but that's when they cut off the camera, that's where they cut us off. And you know, I was showing off. I was jumping up with my sign. I was one of the first guy on the feed because I figured that they were going to see me in my cross hat. I was trying to do it, but we didn't make it. So there's proof that we were there. I got another picture for you, Jared. See if you can find that one, Jared. It was just a picture. There's Michelle and I. We're standing. I don't know if you get a feel for how close we were. We were really, really close. I'm so glad we went. Let me break this down for you. I've been an unashamed supporter of Trump. Most of you know this. You've been watching the show all. Unashamed supporter. I was one of the first people that I knew that was on the Trump train. And I had a lot of people were mad at me. If you think back, well, how long ago was that? 3 years to the election? Everybody hated Trump. And I saw something in Trump. I don't know what it was. I saw something in him. And I was out early as a Trump supporter. I got people on Facebook who defriended me. How can you support him? Yada, yada. Yada, 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 yada. He's a, you know, whatever. This, he's an adulterer. He swears. He, on and on and on and on and on and on. Folks, listen. I was in that room last night. And in that room last night, we're packed to the gills. You couldn't squeeze another butt. Not legally. You couldn't squeeze another butt in there last night. Listen to me. The room is full of our people. It's not about Trump. We live in a society today where, whether we realize this or not, the majority of Americans are on our side. You understand what I'm telling you? Don't believe the polls. Don't believe what all the media's. I saw the Columbus Dispatch today. The headlines, Jared, I don't know if you can do that. I want people to see this. Jared, just click on dispatch.com. I think that's all you need. D-I-S-P-A-T-C-H. Dispatch.com, I think. And I want you guys to see. I was in the room. I want you to see the headlines of the Columbus Dispatch today, which Jared's pulling up there. There it is. What does it say, Jared? Look at that, folks. No racist chance, but plenty of racial issue in Trump's rally. That is not true. That is a flat-out lie. I was in there. See, in other words, no racist chance. That's news. Well, they got all these white people together and nobody chanted to kill the blacks. What is that? What? See, our media.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
It's just a bunch of nonsense. I'd like to remind everyone once again that the media is the propaganda arm of the homosexual banking mafia. And they're never going to tell you the truth. If they could have broadcast that rally with Trump and blanking all you out, they would have done that.
I know they
so
would have
done anything they say.
It's the point that I'm trying to make to you folks is they have told us that we are the minority and all the minorities are the majority. That's what they're trying to get us to believe, okay? And I'm going to tell you this, folks.
Amen.
Our people were in that room. Our people. I didn't have enough. I could have handed out 10,000, 20,000 equal justice cards last night. I handed out, I don't know, I got probably 500 of them out. I could have handed out more. These are our people in that room. My friends, Donald Trump is leading a movement. It's not about Trump. I got an email today from someone who said, how can you support him when he took the name of the Lord in vain? I thought, what? Hillary doesn't swear? Because Hillary doesn't swear publicly to support Hillary? So no, don't support. They didn't, of course, they didn't tell me who to support. This is not, this thing, you had to be in the room. This, I'm going to say it real slow. The room is full of our people. The kind of people that we are going to need to rally this country. They were in the room. 20-some thousand of them in the room. You know what the problem is? Donald Trump had to lead this insurgency because the pastors wouldn't. I'm going to say that again real slowly. Donald Trump stepped into the leadership void because the pastors refused to pick up the mantle.
Amen, Coach.
And the people in that room are God-fearing Americans who are standing with someone who is finally saying what they believe.
Amen.
That's what's going on. And for all of you out there who say Trump is a Mossad agent, and you know, yeah, as I said yesterday, if he is, we are all screwed. I didn't go there to worship Donald Trump. I went there to latch on to a movement and help to try to drive the movement, to wake up the church. Folks, not everybody there was a Christian. But most people were. And Donald Trump is the one guy who's standing up now and telling us it's okay to be a Christian. He's not standing up there telling us what a great Christian. Be Christians. I support you being Christians. Have freedom of religion, freedom of speech. You go for it. I support you. Now, I don't know. How do you not support that, huh? Well, he grabbed a piece one time, and he took the name of the Lord in vain the other day. And as Alan Zeifer told me this morning, what did David keep as souvenirs, Alan? What was it David collected as souvenirs?
Foreskins, Coach.
Foreskins. King David collected foreskins from his battles, right?
The church would rather have a president who says Islam is a religion of peace.
They would, brother. They would. They would. They would. I came away from there so encouraged last night because, folks, there's so much hope in America. Here's our problem. We are not organized. You hearing me, Trump? You hearing me, Matt? You hear me, Rob Pugh? You guys hearing me out there? This is a movement looking for a leader. We've got one in Donald Trump. He's not a righteous leader, but he's a leader. This is a movement. This is a movement looking for pastors. Oh, my Lord, help us.
Help hey, us. Coach.
Yeah, Alan.
Ben Carson was the closest thing we'd ever gotten. There wasn't enough people to vote for. There wasn't enough Christians to vote in a man of God or a woman of God. End of the story.
Amen. I'll tell you what else, Alan. I'll tell you what else. A lot of the people calling themselves Christians who are mad about Trump aren't Christians.
Exactly. That's my point, Coach. You're exactly right.
Yeah. So I want you to know, you all can be as mad at him as you want to. I'm not a blind loyalist to Trump. I'm a blind loyalist to make America great again. That idea, make the church great again. That's what I'm standing with. That's what I'm standing with. Here's Donald Trump. Listen, we just had a president of the United States who mocked Christianity. That Muslim, homosexual Muslim freak, in my opinion. You know what I'm talking about? He mocked Christianity. He mocked Almighty God. Donald Trump is not mocking Almighty God. He's saying to the Christians, come on out and fight. Come on out and fight, Christians. That's what he's saying. I'm opening the door. I don't know how many times he mentioned faith last night. Oh, yeah, I get it. He's just mentioning that to fool us, right? He's just fooling us by saying it. Really? Really? He's smart. He's,
hey, Coach,
he's smart to name it, Dale. He's smart enough to know whether he's a Christian or not. He's smart enough to know Christianity made America great. He's smart enough to know that. And that's what he's telling us. Go ahead, Dale.
And not only that, Coach, I follow and I see these are just good old Americans who want their country back.
Dale,
period.
That is it, man.
Amen, Dale. Amen.
Hey, Coach, can I throw in one more point?
Sure.
How come here he's only saying something, and then when he's grabbing peas, he's doing it? How does that work?
Well, we know how it works, don't we, Vinny? We know what's going on. We know. So listen, save the emails, okay? Don't send me a Dollar Tree that I idolize Donald Trump. Don't send me those. Don't send me emails asking me how I can support an adulterer. Don't send me those emails, okay? He is leading a movement. This is not about Donald Trump. If you'd have been in that room last night and felt the electricity in that room as he clearly articulated our values, okay? Say, well, Coach, he's just setting you up. He doesn't really believe him. Okay, well, then hell, let's vote in Hillary. We know she doesn't support him. And what did I see today? What did I see today? Who did Michael Moore come out today and say, if we want to beat Trump, here's who we got to run. Anybody see who it was? Michelle Obama. So, Donald Trump or Michelle Obama, make your choice. See, this isn't pie in the sky. We can wish all we want to that so-and-so was president, and this guy was president, and this, we can wish all that. He ain't. They ain't, okay? They ain't. Trump's president. And Donald Trump is singing.
And on that note, Coach, and on that note, biblically, the scripture tells us to pray for those who are in authority. When Obama was president, brother, I prayed for him. Brother, when Clinton was president, man, I had to choke an apple, but I prayed for him. Donald Trump is my president, and I will pray for him. I didn't vote for him, but I support him. And if I had to pull a lever today, I'd pull the lever for him.
Well, we're going to get a chance to do it here in a bit, Dale. We're going to get a chance to do it again. Hey, listen, if I'd have had, I was the star of the show last night. I wore my Protect the Flock with a Glock t-shirt. I could have sold a million of them. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, when Trump was first got in there and all this stuff was going on, I sat back and I pondered on this thing. Listen, when you got the Pope, the drug cartels, the Democratic Party, all the Republican rhinos, all hating on one guy, I stood back and said, man, God's doing something crazy here. And it took me right to King Nebuchadnezzar, King Cyrus. I mean, I'm sitting there pondering. I've done videos on way before Trump was even elected on that subject, man. And yes, God was doing something. And we just, listen, if we're ignorant of Bible prophecy, that's why we got ignorant people out here. And they know no Bible prophecy. Trump is walking out Isaiah 45. It's as plain as night and day.
Amen, Alan. Amen. Hey, Jared, I want to show you something. Jared, pull up FBI report. I got this today. I think it was somebody, one of our good people here, sent it to me this morning. Oh, it was Lowell. Lowell sent me this morning. Just so you know, there it is. An exclusive, an FBI document warns, this is new, warns conspiracy theories are a new domestic terrorism threat. This is today, August 1st, it was yesterday. So now they've found a secret memo from the FBI, and who is the FBI saying the problem is? Hey, Larry, it's not Islam. Larry, the problem isn't Islam, brother. The problem isn't the homosexual insurgents, Larry. That's not the problem. No. What's the problem? Oh, those of us who have conspiracy theories. Straight from the FBI, who've worked overtime trying to throw out a duly elected president. This is the type of bullcrap that we're dealing with, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. I want to say this to the homosexuals, and I want to say this to the far left-leaning communists and socialists. I want to say this to the good old boys in that room last night ain't going to let you get away with it. They're not going to let you get away with it. I'm just telling you.
Well, if you, Coach, if you remember back in Bush's, I mean, George W. Bush's presidency, a Republican presidency, the FBI sent out training to its people that the people to watch for domestic terrorism were returning veterans from the Gulf War.
That's right, brother. That's right. Larry, you don't know how many vets there were in that room last night. It was powerful. I said to somebody, hey, folks, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Just don't miss what's going on. Don't miss the time of his visitation. And I said to everybody I was around last night, as I was handing out the Equal Justice Tour cards, they could have put every one of the Democratic candidates in that stadium last night and opened it up, and there wouldn't have been 100 people show up. But people were standing in line for hours last night. There was 20-some thousand on the inside and thousands on the outside who could not get in. Because this is a movement. This is not, if you think this is about Donald Trump, then I understand why you feel the way you feel. But it isn't. I got to show this because this is amazing. Jared, go to, it says protesters. They had a couple of disruptors last night, and the sun's coming up in my face now, finally. A couple of disruptors. Michelle, my wife, walked away. She's got to see this. Jared, two times protesters started yelling or doing whatever it was that protesters do. And they were removed. Of course, everybody, it was a 2-minute break and everybody cheered. But Jared, I want you to go down. Michelle, I want you to, there's my sweetheart. Come here a minute. Hey, Jared, scroll down there a little bit because there's that video. Now, these folks, this is amazing. Michelle, I don't know if you saw this. This is a video of a protester being removed. And my dear friends, I want you to watch this right here, and I want you to ask yourself if you recognize the one who's stirring up the mess as some woman who stalks me. Right in the middle, I'm not going to say her name. She knows who she is. You guys know who she is. And there she was last night, stirring up a mess again, right in the middle. Jared, can you expand that picture? This is right during the event. Somebody starts chanting and so whatever. And so they have to remove them. And I want you to watch the, you'll see her. She'll pop up. The lady in black is going to pop up. She's everywhere we look. Well, my wife's right here. Watch it. Go ahead and play it, Jared. As they're removing these people. I'll show her to you here in a minute. There she is. Stop. Right behind the Trump. Right, oh, there she is. There she is. Right there. Backs to you. Go ahead, Jared. There's our girl with her camera. See that? See it? There she is. There she is. There's our girl.
I thought I recognized Concrete Face last night.
Concrete Face.
I think she's the one that eats everything on the altar, Coach, man. I'm telling you, she's getting big.
Yeah. She's all in, though. I'll tell you this. She's all in for her God, isn't she? She's all in. She's all in. It is amazing. Right there, she is again in the midst of it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. And if we don't understand, my friends, that there are people who are serving the dark side who are all in, and we look at our side and we're not, it ought to tell us something. So there you go. They were escorted out. They got their 2 minutes of glory, whatever they were looking for. But I tip my cap to her. She's all in. She's all
in. Yeah, she's an evil spirit in a low place, Coach.
Say it again.
That's an evil spirit in a low place. That's what that is.
Well, whatever. It is, all right? Let's see. Let me open it up. Somebody come on. I got something I want to show you here in a minute. I'm going to open it up and somebody will come in. It's
real quick, and that James Comey not being charged spoke with one of our assistant coaches last night who's with the FBI, and he said Horowitz and Comey and Mueller, they've been holding hands for decades in the DOJ. He says he's not gonna throw one of his own under the bus.
It remains to be seen what's going to happen with that. Doesn't And that's why we have to continue, I'm sorry, with our equal justice tour. It was Coach. We went around just handed out cards. I said, you help us bring equal justice in America. Are you sick of equal justice? They were all taking it. We didn't even have to explain it. Go ahead, Vic.
The justification of the legalese is that there wasn't enough good evidence to convict. But they're saying that there's still enough pokers in there to light them up. So we'll see how that plays out.
Victor, didn't somebody say that the grand jury could indict a ham sandwich? That's
what they say.
Well, let's just indict them, then find out what the evidence is. Let's not say they're innocent because there's not enough evidence. Let's indict them and then find out if there's enough evidence.
Like I said, that was the legalese that they use.
Yes, I get it. But we've got to say it. See, and that if I said it once last night, I said it 200 times. They're not going to move if we don't make them. If we don't force them to move, they are not going to move. That's the whole
idea. Listen, Dave, the Comey comments will have pissed off enough people. They'll turn on Comey, then they'll indict him.
Yeah, Roger, I believe this thing is last night there was an indict, lock her up chant started. Lock her up. Lock her. You guys have all heard that. And people said, well, you know, Trump didn't even comment on that. No, he didn't. But you know what? He stood there for about 30 seconds and let it go on. He could have stepped to the microphone and stopped it. He just stepped back and he just let it go on. Lock her up. That place was rattling, man. Rattling. Because why? People want equal justice. They understand it. They want
it. Coach.
Yes.
Is it possible to get tickets to all of the upcoming Trump rallies and hand out equal justice cards at all of the upcoming ones?
Here's what I know, Mark. We don't have to get tickets to go inside. People stand in line for hours. There were 30,000 people probably standing out line, just standing in line. You just go down through the line, just hand out tickets. You don't even have to get a ticket.
So everyone who wants to do something simply can follow the Trump rallies. Is that correct?
That's right. I'll tell you this, Mark. I wore my Protect the Flock with a Glock shirt last night. I learned something. Because people see you coming. I got my cross hat on. I got my Protect the Flock with a Glock shirt. And people look at you and they make a judgment, a value judgment, right away when they look at you. And so they see me with my cross hat. They see me with my shirt, which they liked. But they couldn't understand really where I was coming from. What we need to do is have a shirt or a sign that says, lock her up, or indict him, something like that. If we were to wear a shirt or hold a sign saying, lock her up, they wouldn't even ask questions. They would take them. Yeah.
Coach, don't you think when the disciples met that they were looking at times when maybe towns were coming together to step out and talk about Christ? Isn't this how they operated?
I got to believe it was, Mark. A guerrilla evangelist.
All right. Amen. So, folks, listen to what we're being taught. Look at what Coach has went and discovered. If you want to do something, now's the time. Find out where Hillary's traveling. Find out where Comey's speaking. They go to universities. Find out where Trump's going. Go take a handful of these cards. Go to your VA and talk to people in the entrance to the VA. Find places where these like-minded people go. And they willingly want to talk. It's not even a debate. They want to talk.
They're looking for leaders. They're looking for somebody who will do something. Yes, Vic?
There's something that I saw last night with Frank Luntz. I think he was being interviewed by Ingram. I got to go back and pull that clip out. I'm going to tell you, they're right now, Luntz is calling for violence this next year. And in that, he's saying that the people are so mad against the corporate leaders that he's talking about equal justice. We need to analyze that very carefully, because I don't know if we're being thrown into the frying pan with everybody else, but everybody should look for that clip, Frank Luntz, and he's talking about there's this hatred against the leaders of the CEO leaders. And that was a, I didn't pay attention. I should have paid more attention to that. But that's a problem right there that I see.
Hey, before you go, hey, understand this. Frank Luntz is a provocateur. He worked with a bunch of scumbags. So he's trying to get a race war going. He's trying to foment a race war.
I agree. I agree. He is a provocateur.
That's one of the tactics of their side is when they see an area where they are vulnerable, they deflect and try to get your attention focused on corporations instead of their activities. Blank claim the other side's doing what you're doing. Isn't that one of their principles?
That's Amen. What they do. That's right. We can't be deceived.
I think we should try and look for that clip, and we need to study it. Lowell, you're the guy that reads in between the lines very clearly. You should see exactly what that guy's saying.
Amen. Amen. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. The enemy's clearly at work. And as I said yesterday, and Mark Trump spoke about yesterday, our need to stand is now. Stand. We have to stand, and we have to stand now. Now, I'm reading something here. The sergeant just put the chat pops up sometimes on my phone. I can't see it, so I got to look over here.
Hey, Coach.
Wow, Kevin Bushy said, I'll clean this up, Sarge. A Capitol policemen are being trained today on how to place tourniquets and pull bullets from persons. The police are being trained right now on how to put on tourniquets and pull bullets from people. Folks, what's that tell us? Think about that. Because, listen, if Trump wins in 2020, get out of the way. Get out of the way.
Funny that you mentioned that, Coach, because Albert, when we were down there, he gave a class on the tourniquets. But he's always been a proponent of that for as long as I know him. He gave me a tourniquet to carry with me wherever I go so that we know how to go ahead and stop the bleeding immediately. But that's funny that you talk about that.
Hey, Jared, if you could, it's not funny. I'm kidding. Hey, Jared, if you could, look up the scripture. Maybe somebody can help me. The scripture says count the cost, where Jesus said to count the cost. I got a video I want to share with us. Does anybody know where that one is? My phone's getting hot here off of my computer. Let me move this thing right there a second. Count the cost. Because I got something I want to share with you. Fellas, listen, I think we're in deeper than we understand. I wish it wasn't true. I wish it wasn't true, but I think we're in deeper than we understand.
Luke 14:25-33, Coach.
Thank you. Luke 14, Jared. Luke 14:25. Okay, cool. Because I got something I want to share with you here today. Now, as I said yesterday, now's the time to stand. Now's not the time to run. Now's the time to stand. Jared's working on getting it up there for us. I'm sorry, man. I'm dealing with the sun. I'm dealing with a hot phone. I need Vic here to babysit me. Okay, let's see. No, I don't, Vic. No, I don't. Okay. Where does it begin? Jared, was that Dale? Where does it begin?
Yeah, it's 20. We're really kind of 28. Okay, you know, cool. That's where he's sitting down, okay. Counting the cost.
Verse 25. Let's start at 25. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and he said unto them, are you ready? So remember yesterday we talked about the Sermon on the Mount and he was speaking directly to his disciples. Now it appears he's turning and he's speaking to everybody else. There's a great multitude that's following him. Bandwagon effect, they call that, right? He says, if any man comes to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children. Now I don't hate my wife. You understand what he is saying? Anybody who puts these other people or issues ahead of me. That's what he's saying, not hate. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Listen, I love my wife. I love her more than me. This is not the hate that he's talking about, okay? And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me he can't be my disciple. For which of you buy sky high, before you buy it, you don't sit down first and count the cost, whether or not I have sufficient money, energy, desire, know how to finish it. Lest haply, after he has laid the foundation, now is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man, look what he started, and he couldn't finish it. Those Christians, they're great starters. They just never finish anything. Somebody say amen, all you don't have to. Or what king, going to make a war against another king, sitteth down, not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with the 10,000 that meet with him to come against their 20,000. He didn't say don't go fight him. He said before you go fight him, you better figure out if you got the 20,000. You notice you have less than them, whether or not you have the 10,000 dedicated to do it or not. He said don't pick a fight, boys, if you can't finish it. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends us an ambassage and tries to offer peace. Are we going to try to offer peace to the gay mafia? Is that what we're supposed to do? We can't win, so let's offer peace to them. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. Why? Salt is good. But if salt has lost the savor, how can it ever be salty again?
Amen, brother.
It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. Remember, he called us the salt of the earth. He said, you're good for nothing. You ain't even good enough for the crap hole. The man he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jared, I want you to pull up. I got about a 10-minute video from Paul Harvey. Good day. And this is I was just thinking about this last night as I was coming back from that, about the war for Christianity. That's really what's going on. The war for our King is going on right in front of us. Church still doesn't get it. We don't get it. And I'm just giving a warning to those of you who are in the queue that as we root for Donald Trump to win, for our movement to continue to be successful, we're setting ourselves up for something that ain't going to be very pretty. I think we all need to know that. And I came across this Paul Harvey. It's 10 minutes. The sacrifices of the founders.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know what you're saying, right? You're saying if Trump wins, all this chaos occurs. If Trump loses, all this chaos occurs. Is that what you're saying?
Either way. So we got to pick our poison. Exactly. Got to pick our poison, don't we? Are we going to pick our poison trying to win, or are we going to pick our poison trying to defend ourselves? That's the two choices.
Because either way, chaos is coming. So right now, there's no option.
There's chaos, no option.
Chaos.
Because, Mark, that if the left wins, they will come at us with a vengeance. Let there be no doubt. Imagine Facebook being president of the United States and their anti-Christ positions. And look at the Democratic Party. That is exactly what they all are pushing, anti-Christ positions. So sit back here a minute and listen as Paul Harvey tells us about the founders who were just normal people. They were just me and you. It was me and Lowell and Mark Trump and George and Rod. It was just normal guys, man. It was just they had money and they had influence, but they were just normal guys.
They were just dudes.
Hey, Coach.
And they just did it. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go and film all these fools. The hashtag meet in Texas. It's gonna be from September 1st through the 10th. So I'm going to have to go out there and give a unbiased view at all the nonsense that goes out here in case people get shot so that they're not saying that the conservatives did it.
That's what they're going to say. Because
I have to get out there. I can't find anybody to go with me, but that's all right, you know, because I walk with the Lord.
Quit looking for people to go with you and go.
I know. I'm going to go. I'm going to go, and that's what I'm going to do.
Jared, pull up Paul Harvey here, Jared. It's about 10 minutes. It's worth it, though.
Are so much better known and understood than the WHO. The United States of America was born in 1776, but it was conceived 169 years before that. The earliest settlers had watered the New World with much sweat. They had built substantial holdings for themselves, for their families. And when the time came to separate themselves from a tyranny an ocean away, at best it meant starting all over again after the ravages of war. Researching what you're about to hear gave a whole new dimension to my reverence for our nation's first citizens. All others of the world's revolutions, before and since, were initiated by men who had nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Our founders had everything to lose and nothing to gain, except one thing. Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey. You remember the cherry tree fiction. A long time after you have forgotten the more earth-shaking history-making episodes in the life of George Washington, you have misplaced in your memory the details of Ben Franklin's statesmanship, but you remember his flying a kite. Joyce Kilmer was a great military hero. But the only thing you personally recall about him is his poetic tribute to trees. Maybe of this current decade, that which will be remembered best will not be its wars and its moon rockets or its crumbling frontiers or the giants who lived and died. Maybe all that'll survive to linger in the day-by-day vocabulary of generations yet unborn may be the songs of a Memphis minstrel or the reincarnation of electric automobiles. But for any eve of the 4th of July, I, Paul Harvey, do herewith bequeath unto you something to remember. You may not be able to quote one line from the Declaration of Independence at this moment. Henceforth, you'll always be able to quote at least one line. It's in the last paragraph where you will recall when I remind you, it says, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." In the Pennsylvania State House that's now called Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the best men from each of the colonies sat down together. This was a very fortunate hour in our nation's history, one of those rare occasions in the lives of men when we had greatness to spare. These were men of means, well-educated. 24 were lawyers and jurists. 9 were farmers, owners of large plantations. On June 11, a committee sat down to draw up a Declaration of Independence. We were going to tell the British fatherland, no more rule by redcoats. Below the dam of ruthless foreign rule, the stream of freedom was running shallow and muddy. And we were going to light a fuse to dynamite that dam. This pact, as Burke later put it, was a partnership between the living and the dead and the yet unborn. There was no bigotry. There was no demagoguery in this group. All had shared hardships. Jefferson finished a draft of the document in 17 days. Congress adopted it in July, and so much is familiar history. But now, King George III had denounced all rebels in America as traitors. Punishment for treason was hanging. The names now so familiar to you from the several signatures on that. Declaration of Independence. The names were kept.
Locked up.
Trouble on our end. Oh, daggone. Are we going to be able to get it cleaned up, Jared, or not? If trouble on your... We were just...
Americans, the how and the why.
Hang on, folks. This gets good. It gets good. Who these guys were and what they sacrificed. And what, why are we saying this? Because could we be there again? Can we win if we're not willing to sacrifice?
And hey,
yeah.
I just got to put a good word in for those 24 lawyers.
All right, Roger. We'll let you do it.
Bravo, Roger. Bravo.
And the 9 farmers. Oh, Jared, I don't care. If we're not going to be able to get it, finish this, Jared, that's okay. This is really, really good. And we can put it, because, boys, it cost him something. It cost him something.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Just an idea. You know the guy that's selling the hats and shirts at my car lot, the Trump hats and shirts?
Yeah.
We've been like them Drain the Swamp bumper stickers you give me. We got rid of them bundles that you left me. Everybody comes to his tent, he gives them a free bumper sticker. He could get them cards because he goes to every Trump rally in the United States. And that boy, we've moved $5,000 worth of hats and shirts in 4 months right in Mount Vernon. We put a box of cards on his table everywhere he goes.
Well,
hey, Jeff, send me your address and I'll find a way to get you 1,000 or 2,000 of those bumper stickers to you.
All right, because the people are loving them. We're handing them out left and right.
Listen, folks. Here's the truth. We believed a lie. The media has convinced us that you can't talk about politics because somebody might be a Hillary supporter and somebody might. Okay, 30 seconds and Jared can get it. Folks, that's not true. Most people are afraid. Most people don't have any courage. Most people are silent for whatever reason. And we have to be bold. We got to bring them out of the shadows. And the Equal Justice Tour is a great thing to organize people. They get it. They're looking for leaders. They're looking for somebody to do something. Yeah, Vic.
It's about skin in the game. That's what Paul Harvey's talking about.
That's right. Skin in the game. And that's Jared still trying to get this up for us because that's I wouldn't waste your time. It's worth hearing. Skin in the game. You're going to have skin in the game. You're going to have to be willing to have skin in the game. Mark Trump, win or lose, we're going to need skin in the game. Because win or lose, things are not going to get better for a while, my friends. They're not going to get better.
Hey, Jeff, if you just go and sign up with STAB, I'll have your address.
Do we have her, Jared? Oh, daggone. Okay. Knock me off my stride. Because he takes us through it and he tells us what each one of those guys, what they lost. What every one of them lost. 7:48. Somebody come in and rescue me since 10 minutes of my show just went down the crapper. Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Dave.
Oh, yeah. You go ahead first.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Roger.
I was just going to say, you know, we're dealing with bullies. We're dealing with bullies in the public, whether it's Antifa, the witch woman, or whatever. And I don't know how Christian this is, but I've always felt and found that in dealing with bullies, you have to hit them back.
Amen. Amen. That doesn't sound very Christian, Roger.
You know what, Coach? Doug the other day said something that was, I don't know if I can say it exactly the way he said it, but he says that the lie that's being perpetrated is actually manifesting in justice. That lie is taking over the justice. And it was so astounding when I heard it. I should have remembered it better, but you know, I got that dementia, so I forget stuff. But he said that, and I got to go back and fish that out. He's saying that the lie is actually taking place of the justice that's going on right now. So that's why they keep moving the goalposts, and we can't score.
Right, exactly.
I want to jump in here real quick.
Come on, Bobby.
Hey, when I was riding with you, I made the comment. I think it was during the Occupy conference. I just made a comment and it fell flat. I guess intended to that. I had a dream, and you and I were in the dream, and it was a Vietnam type era, and we were under machine gun fire. You know, and all of the visuals along with it, I didn't understand it. And for some reason, just this morning, it connected in my head with all of those thousands of people and the left. Can you imagine the hell that's going to fall down in this nation and the thunder that's going to take place from our side if these nutbags fired into the thousands of people at a Trump rally? Now, that would wake us up. That would piss us off.
Well, Bobby, we know the chances of that happening are pretty good. And I was watching last night when those protesters, it happened twice when they interrupted things last night. I was thinking, you know, if this was a role reversal and this was a Hillary rally full of 20,000 people and two people got up and tried to disrupt it, I'm not sure it would have been handled the same as it was last night. I mean, nobody threatened them. Nobody wanted to pound on them. Nobody wanted to hit them with a club. And the response was they just waited for the police to do their job. People just chanted, USA, 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 the whole time that those people... I mean, folks, we don't understand. See, we have controlled rage. The other side doesn't.
Coach, are we prepared to defend ourselves against the bullies? Asking rhetorically.
Well, rhetorically, Gary, I would say this. Hear me. Your churches are going to tell you you're not supposed to respond against them. Right? Now, listen. I was thinking about Mark Trump and Alan Hoyle and Mike Heath and Ron Brock down at the Boy Scout thing. I was thinking about them. Are we supposed to be punching bags? Are we supposed to? See, I'm never going to be a punching bag. Now, listen to me. If somebody attacks me, I'm going to defend myself and then restrain them or do whatever. I'm not going to lay on top of them and continue to pummel them while I got them down. That's not what I would do. I would defend myself and then restrain them.
And Alan,
if you stand by and you let somebody come up and assault your wife and you don't do something about it, brother, you got the wrong gospel. Okay?
Amen.
You got the wrong gospel.
Amen.
See that's what Alan did yesterday. Matthew 7 or something like that, and 7 and 1, and he shows how they're twisting the scripture. They're using that demon tongue to twist it, and then he put a lot of scripture that says that we can judge, because that one I said 7 and 1 says, judge me not, and then he goes and he proves it, that you can do that. He listed a whole bunch of scripture. It's there on the Facebook. So with that being said, these guys are trying to twist scripture and we're buying into it. Turn the other cheek so that they can slap you down again. Oh, no, that ain't going to happen here. You hit me, brother, you better just watch out because I'm coming back after you.
Yeah, but you're not.
Hey, Coach.
You're not going to pummel them to a pulp, though, right? You're not going to pummel them. You're going to defend yourself and then restrain them.
You're exactly correct. It's just to neutralize it.
You have to. Hey, Jared, I just sent you our buddy Kevin up in New Hampshire just sent me a great visual. Mark Trump, I want you to – oops, let me put this back here. Jared, pull that – when you get that, pull that up there. Trump, Matt, think about this for a shirt. Jared, when you get a chance, throw that thing up on the screen, Jared. All right.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, real quick, I've never saw someone on the show. I'm going to do it today because I have a special expose starring Michael Heath. It'll be coming out in a couple of hours. I'm not going to tell you anymore. Look for Vinny from Brooklyn on YouTube. This is real. Thank you.
Say that again, Vinny.
I have a special expose of YouTube's algorithm starring Michael Heath.
Okay. I don't even know what that means, but I'll do
it. For Vinny from Brooklyn, you too. Thank you.
Hey, Mark Trump.
There you go. There you go. Love it. Love it.
Kevin.
I love it.
Good hit, Kevin. Good hit. Equal.
I love it. Send me the information, whoever made that, okay?
Kevin.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, just.
I'm going to tell you something, Mark. Mark, when I was handing out cards last night, that's one of that thing. Anybody want to help me lock up Hillary? They couldn't wait to take the cards, man. They couldn't wait. So if I was wearing a shirt like that as I handed out the cards, oh, my goodness.
Amen.
Kevin, amen. Thanks, Kevin. That's a good get. Good get. And, Mark, I'll forward it to you. Hey, folks, I'm listening, looking into the sun right now. I'm having a really hard time seeing my screen here. So,
hey, Coach.
So bear with me. Yeah.
You can also put, like, stand up or something like that, like on the front lapel or something.
All right. Yeah, hold on a second. Now, let me share this. After we talked yesterday, I took and put logos like I did with the Coach Dave Live logo. I put stand under it. So I created logos for 17 ministries and actually commercial companies. So I sent it out to – I sent the request out for them to stand with us. And we got a couple minutes, Coach. I'll just read what I sent out to all these folks. I basically sent them a text message. Mm-hmm. And with it, and now I'm getting back messages saying yes. But I'll read you the message. I said, would you like to be a part of a campaign to stand up for equal justice, to stand up for our children, both born and unborn, to stand against the tsunami of sexual perversion that we have let flood into our nation, to stand up for his right, for what is right, to stand up for Jesus. Will you stand together with us? So, for instance, I sent one to Ken Hall. I took his logo, I matched the colors of his logo and sent him a logo with stand on it. Simply stand. I took Kevin Van Story's logo for his Southwest Missouri homes and I put a stand on it. Jeffrey Nell wanted one for this Nevada Salt and Light Brigade. So I matched one with the Nevada State logo. So what I'm saying, guys, that we're not got to do anything different. Kevin's going to continue standing. Jeffrey's going to stand. But it's the idea that we can broadcast this message to stand across all the ministries, the churches, the companies, Chick-fil-A. I've created a Chick-fil-A logo with stand on it.
Mm.
So we're bridging across all the different doctrines. I'm trying to take the isolated body parts flopping around on the floor and give them a reason to bond. We got to get together.
Amen. We do, Mark. We do.
So the whole campaign is about continuing what you're doing, but add the biblical verses that Coach gave us on the armor of God and how to stand against this stuff. Let's stand against tyranny. Let's write our congressmen, send them that stand logo, say, you got to stand with us. Let's stand together. Do you understand?
Well, I'm going to tell you, we supposedly William Hurd is stepping down. I don't know if all the stuff that I've been aiming at that fool is taking hold, but he's not running for re-election. That's a Republican that's bailing out. And I'm going to tell you one more thing. On that locker up, I think I'm going to start a hashtag of hashtag lock and then apostrophe E-R-U-P, locker up.
What about
I'm
going
to do that right now.
Listen to me. Here's what I heard last night, okay? Mark, maybe it should say lock them up.
Ah, amen. I'll do it. Because apostrophe E-M.
Because when I mention Hillary, they say, yeah, well, what about Comey? What about Brennan? Lock them up. Lock them up.
I'm going to do that on Twitter right now.
Yeah, I think so. Listen, now also T-shirts. Don't everybody run out and pay some guy to make the T-shirts. I got a guy that does that kind of stuff for us. Free. Don't go pay somebody $400 to make you up a logo, okay? We're gonna work on this stuff. Lock them up. People get it. People understand. In the multitude of many counselors, great wisdom. Listen, friends, this isn't about Donald Trump. It's about a movement. It's about this period of time in American history. We have an opportunity to come together. Donald Trump is the Pied Piper. I'm not following Donald Trump. I'm in line on the bandwagon, trying to get the people on the bandwagon to understand what we, the people, have to do. Donald Trump cannot save America. America will never be great again unless we become Christian again. And Donald Trump has given the church the opportunity to step into the gap and help make America great again. God bless you, folks. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday morning.